Jason, let's get right into it. I know that you started when you were 17. Did you always think that your path was clear to becoming an entrepreneur?
No, I think it's a combination of just sort of going with the flow. But when you're younger, you're sort of like riddled with all these questions on where my career is going to go. And if you listen to the outside world and your parents and things like that, it can get really stressful because it's almost like you have to have a plan. I found myself just doing the things that were put in front of my face. And I was a big sampler when I was a kid. I think I went through 50 lives of different types of careers. You sort of lean into what feels good and what feels right. And I think that propelled my journey into this specific direction. I think the reward and what and how your soul feels after you accomplish something is something special when you pay attention to it.
Let's kind of hone into that, like the highs and the lows that's associated with that and the wins and the losses. I know that you've talked about starting 20 companies and them not all being successful. Can you talk a little bit about that specifically? Maybe what was going through your mind when your first company failed?
Looking back, it's easy to say that that's just the way this journey works.
Yeah.
It works like a lab.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the formula right away. So you have to keep trying and measuring different things. And you start to, as you mature, see failures as something different, more so of lessons to do things properly rather than I stop here and die.
Yeah.
This idea dies. But that doesn't mean that when I was younger and I built my first company, that I didn't put my all into it with blood, sweat, and tears to think that it was going to be amazing when it started to fail. And all of the failures felt like horrible blows to my ego, to everything around me that I just, what am I doing wrong? It was very debasing, you know, along the way.
Right.
But as you get older, you know, you do learn that this is part of the process. I mean, maturity is amazing. And ultimately, I feel like it's okay if you're out there trying something new and you're not getting what you want out of it, because underneath the roots of what you are growing and what you're trying to do, that is growth. That pain that you're going through, that feeling of, I'm not going to be able to pull this off, or the doubt and you overcoming that, you know, is part of the process, and you are building something. You're building yourself, and you're positioning yourself properly for when you do get it right, you're going to know it. You're going to be that much better at it.
Right. That's an interesting way to look at it too, that whether you choose to see it or not, something is growing. It might not be that your company's scaling, but it might be that underneath the roots, something in you is growing at that time. So I'm kind of curious about like resilience and endurance. When you're experiencing constant failure like that, how do you pick yourself back up? How do you get back up, get into the ring? And, you know, in your case, 20 plus times.
We could question how, but I think more so it's looking at everyone that has reached a level of success that inspires you, and thinking about the traits that they have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And the one trait that successful people have in common is that despite everything that's happened to them along the way, they kept going, right?
Right.
And I think that if you want to be successful and you want to be in this entrepreneurial journey, then you have to come to peace with that. Many entrepreneurs don't make an impact or make money until they're much older. I think that does two things. It grounds you in reality, but it also, it fundamentally prepares your mindset for not taking the failures so deeply rooted. And there is no magic bullet when you first start. The number of startups that I've seen successful to the point where they either exited successfully or went public, they've never been an overnight success, right? They're saying that it took me 10 years to look like an overnight success is very relevant in the startup ecosystem, because it really does take a long time. And then at the end of the day, it's going to look like you did it overnight. Yeah. Everyone's going to celebrate you and give you glories. And the one saying that bothers me the most when I hear either being said to me or one of my successful friends or counterparts is, must be nice, right? Must be nice. And it's like, no, it was not nice.
Yeah. Right?
It was hard.
Yeah. Did you experience that with Ali? Did people think that you were overnight success when that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I was very young to own a company that had so much liability in real estate. At our peak, we had close to 400,000 square feet of real estate that we were working with and managing for startup ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when I met somebody that was a little older, they looked at my age and was like, are you sure you did this or my tattoos? You know, like,
right.
Oh, you don't look responsible. You know, that's the feeling that I got, but that's going to happen. And you know what? I wear that shit like a badge of honor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing I can say about you. You know, you are who you are. I remember the first time you took me to show me Ali on the door, it said, what, don't enter if you're an asshole or something like that. And actually check me. I'm like, am I an asshole? Like, you know, it really makes you check yourself. And now that's so relevant today with everything going on in the world. So I know that the journey of entrepreneurship, the highs are high and the lows are low. And sometimes it switches overnight. You know, you can have a really great day one day and then the next day's complete shit. Thinking about that and thinking about mental health, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, obviously, I'm going to tell you from my experience, everything is measured based on your own personal experiences. So for me, what's been a challenge is when you have a million things going on and you have to look super confident along the way. And when you suffer from anxiety, you know, at any given moment, right, it could be like nothing really that you can pinpoint could trigger someone who has like general anxiety disorder. It could just start as super nervous feelings. And you could start to sweat, right? Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the meeting that you're in or the person that you're meeting. It's just your body chemistry, right?
Right.
And so navigating times like that can get extremely challenging, especially when you have to do things like raise money and you have to perform and you have to build a team and you have to look like a leader. So the best way that I've known how to navigate those circumstances is just to be real with what's going on. I found like, you know, when you're upfront,
yeah.
When you're bold, uh-huh. people respect that. It's when they don't know what's going on that when people come to conclusions that something else is amiss, right?
Right.
They could think you're, not to judge it or anything, but they could think the craziest of thoughts. Just imagine I'm in a meeting with you and I start sweating profusely.
Right. You're on what's drugs or something.
Exactly. But I'm having a little bit of an anxiety attack and I have to calm myself down. It has nothing to do with you. It's not situational. It's my body. It's my reaction to it. I've literally stopped meetings before and said, I know I look crazy right now, but in reality, I have anxiety. It has nothing to do with you. But let's just move on. Because when I get into the art of dealing with the beauty of the conversation that we're having, mm-hmm. it eases my anxiety. It makes me think less about it. When you can train your anxiety to be more of an intermission rather than the whole movie, mm-hmm. then you're looking at it in the right direction and you could sort of get into the moment that you're in right now.
Yeah, I feel like I hear you saying also you're telling the truth about what's happening on the inside of you. That's a very vulnerable space to be in, especially, you know, if you're in a meeting with an investor or something else. What advice then would you give to entrepreneurs about that, about showing their real selves or having their insides match their outsides in a way?
You know, I had a really big investor come to me and we were in the middle of a deal and I started getting super nervous and I was mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm like, pardon me if you think on the outside I'm acting weird. I just have anxiety sometimes, has nothing to do with the situation. I said that. He's like, holy shit, like I have that.
Yeah.
Like I've never heard somebody experience and our relationship sort of solidified mm-hmm. around being authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever you could do to increase authenticity in a relationship is going to put that relationship onto a special platform.
Yeah.
I'm all for, you know, if they don't respect you for who you really are, you shouldn't be doing business with them in the first place. I think that's what mimics life and business, right?
Right.
You want to bring people around you that respect you for who you really are, people that you don't have to put on this fake self and be like somebody else. You know, you need to feel comfortable to be vulnerable. And sometimes we're so quick to blame ourselves for being that fake person.
Yeah.
Right. But ultimately, you have to look outside. Like, is this person making me feel comfortable? Is this person judging me? Because I don't like that, you know? And if you want to grow a business and you want to have good investors around you, not only do you have to share the mission and vision of the company, they should know who you really are so you could speak to them on a very authentic level so you can get over the big stuff.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said too about you showing up as your authentic self, your real self, that almost forces other people to also show up as their authentic and real self. And if they don't, then you get to see the person that you're choosing to be in business with, you know?
100%. Because I've done it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Part of maturity is looking back and being like, all right, well, how did I get here? We all want to blame everybody else for our problems. It's human nature to sort of not look inside yourself, right?
Yeah.
But I love to take a pause and say, like, okay, this is not where I want to be. Like, how did I get here? What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I handle the situation 9 times out of 10, it's because I didn't let my guard down. It's because I didn't just be authentic in my words and vernacular. And time after time, I'm always noticing that over time, looking back, the best things in my life that ever happened to me is when I was 100% authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've grown just, I think, tremendously in the last 10 years. What do you think is the biggest thing that you've learned or overcome through that challenge or situation? What's the thing that stands out to you the most?
Yeah, I think that the biggest lesson that I've learned over the last 10 years is that you can't be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to really understand that life is a series. Like, every day you can learn something new. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that the process of learning could be very painful, right? Whether you went for an investment and didn't work, whether you put all your money into a startup and it failed, or whether in life, you know, relationships didn't work out the way you thought they would.
Yeah.
You know, if you look underneath the core of the outcomes, not all of them are going to be great, right? So. Yeah. So I think the biggest lesson is, you know, you have to give yourself some leeway. I think if you were to just analyze the way you treat yourself and ask yourself, if you treated other people the way you treat yourself, would you be friends with yourself? For most people, it would be no,
yeah.
Right? It would be, then your negative thoughts that circle in your head. But if you were to take the time to be kind to yourself, the way you'd be kind to others,
mm-hmm.
you would be changing the world around you.
Yeah,
right? You would be more energy. You'd be able to navigate through situations properly. Ultimately, it really comes down to the way we treat ourselves. And I think that I always tell myself, like, all right, like, I can melt in this situation, and I could be so negative on myself, but how is that going to teach me?
Right.
Like, to not have this happen again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're both in our 30s, but I think that's a lesson that I learned very early on in my 30s.
We're not both in our 30s
anymore. Oh, okay.
I wish.
Well, for me, I feel like I've just recently learned that lesson. I've been, you know, spending the last year traveling, and I'm, you know, how I treat myself in different situations and scenarios has come across time and time again for me. And it has really taught me, I think the pandemic has really taught me to what I think and the input and the data that I'm taking in on a daily basis is really important to how productive my day is, the mood that I'm in. How I also treat my friends and my family members as well. That is the thing that kind of predicts the way that my day is going to go also. Just the chatter in between the situations, the chatter in between the moments, you know, mm-hmm. to myself. Mm-hmm. I realized a couple months ago, if someone came up to me and talked to me the way that I talk to myself, I would be like, get the hell away from me, you know?
Right. It's so crazy, but it's just, it's a consequence of really looking inside yourself. And, you know, we need to do that more often.
Right, right. Exactly. What is the one thing that you think, if you could give entrepreneurs advice, what is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then?
Well, number one, you have to be kinder to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to do yourself any good by being mean to the one person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So be super nice. Go that extra mile to be super nice. And two, you know, regardless of the stress of the situation, realize that you're on a journey. Right. Yeah. And that situation that you're in right now is not going to define you, mm-hmm. nor is the outcome, right? The journey will define you, and you should pay more attention to now than what either you're looking to do, the future or the past itself, right? Because ultimately, if you look at everything that's happened to you or that's going to happen to you as a lesson, the better you become at picking up these lessons and adopting them, I think the more chances of success will ultimately fall in your lap.
Right, right. And I guess you're saying to the narrative like that you have in your head, right? Like looking at it as a lesson versus an issue or a problem.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today to answer these questions, to be on the podcast. You have such great energy, so I always love talking to you.
Happy to help you.
All right. Have
anything else?
I will. Have an awesome rest of the day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.